Look who's here. Todd Duncan. Crazy Eights. Wait a minute. Have we just gone back to the 80s?
That's right.
Hold on. No, look at our hairlines. No, that's right. It's 2008.
And our waistlines, too.
Speak for yourselves,
boys.
Yeah.
We're entering dangerous territory. Well, Todd's here because there's a very cool thing happening at The Bite. You're playing at The Bite as part of a big reunion, the 20th anniversary reunion of Big Live Nut Pack.
Absolutely. It's the second coming of the Day of the Eights.
Crazy Eights are back.
The
original lineup.
That's right.
I was just telling Todd, I used to go to this little tiny bar and get in with a fake ID, Todd, Crazy Eights play at the Zephyr Club.
Yep.
You guys were traveling then in a regional network, right?
Right. Our game plan was usually to do college towns in the spring and in the fall so we could avoid the bad weather and, of course, the dead time during the summer. And since our main sort of avenue was college radio, we would just hit the college towns when they were in session. And the Zip and Zephyr was one of our favorites. Sam and Otto were the owners there, and always had a good time there.
You guys were so hot, and I'm curious what happens to a band when you hit that point to where you realize, you know what, we're going to have to go and find day jobs.
Well, it's a sobering moment, but I think we were prepared for it. I mean, we sort of had maxed out the opportunities at the college radio level. I kind of feel like we're the Bull Durham of those bands, the indie bands of the 80s, where, you know, he set the minor league record for home runs in that movie. We sort of got up to the show a couple times, and we did the same thing. We had a demo deal with Warner that didn't work out. They passed, and then Atlantic gave us a singles deal. We passed on that. But we sort of had success on our own terms, and so we were pleased with what we were able to accomplish.
If you think about the model you guys created back in the 80s, if there had been YouTube, you would be superstars because your ability to reach fans would have been 100-fold, and you would be all over the world probably.
Well, that would have been nice, and then and I might still be alive today. But I think another way to look at that too is if the college radio format had migrated to like the stations that are playing alternative and are more accepting during that time. Back then it was non-commercial radio, so we were very successful on non-commercial radio. So it's like being a PBS superstar, you know.
So let's run down let's run down the list. That you're an algebra teacher now.
Yes, I teach the Pythagorean theorem, line, slope, intercept, all that stuff.
Did you have all that knowledge when you were on stage playing with the Eights too?
Yeah, I was kind of a math geek and a band geek in school. So
nothing wrong with that.
Did you know that our own Donna on the overnights, her daughter is in a class with Mike, the bass player. He's their music teacher.
Oh, so how many of the band are teachers now?
Let's see, we got three. Danny, the tenor player, is teaching music, I think, Callan Gable. I'm not sure if that's the name of the school, though. And then I don't know the name of Mike's middle school. That's out in Gresham.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was just a cover boy on the Gresham newspaper. And right now he's doing a conference on downtime in middle school band rehearsals. And
oh, so, that's hilarious.
So I'd like to see that lecture. I bet you it's riveting.
Donna was telling me that the students are always bugging Mr. Reagan to teach them how to play Bootyopolis.
I'll bet they are. They like the words to that one. How difficult was it? Because I heard another couple of professionals, accounting and some other jobs in the real world, so to get together to rehearse for this gig must have been difficult.
Well, it was kind of problematic in a sense that I'm in Seattle, but I would spend my weekends, and the part about two of the best reasons to be a teacher is July and August. It used to be June, July, and August.
Yeah.
There's just shortening. But so I was able to come down on weekends, and then the two other band teachers, and we've got some guys that have some flexibility in their jobs. And so we were able to get together on weekends and just get together. So it's
all about tonight, the Bite of Oregon out at Waterfront Park. 8888, it's the 20th anniversary of the release of Big Live Nut Pack. And this story is legendary in the music industry here in Portland. This is grassroots promotion at its ultimate finest. What did you guys have going back then?
I think what we had was a lot of late night harebrained schemes and a lot of time in the van to cook up these things. And Bakes, our manager, was crafty at that too. We met back at KBVR, Brave New Radio down in Corvallis, 10 watts of power. And right there. And so that's where we met. And so we got a little taste of how the whole machination worked. And we just came up with how what a waste it would be to waste 8888. You know, it was made for a band, Crazy Eights, and so being the media
whore.
Oh. Well, I was going to say sluts, but
who said that?
I was going to say that we are. We took full advantage of it, you know. So
so here you are again. Not much changes in life.
But no. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
You had the flatbed truck then. You took it around town.
And... Yeah. Well, it's not when you say flatbed truck, it brings an image of somebody like just throwing us in the back of a pickup. Now this was like a big 18 wheel trailer van, and we bolted down the equipment. So we would have a generator truck roll up to a retail place. The curtain van would show up. We'd pull the curtains. There would be the PA bolted down, the drums, the percussion, the back line, and we would hop in. We would follow in a third vehicle. We would come out, hop up, play a few songs, and promote our record, wearing Crazy Eight shirts. And then we did our eighth show at Starry Night,
now the Roseland.
Yeah.
Which was the biggest, I think, walk-up at the time. I mean, still might be. It was packed. And we gave out peanuts, bags of peanuts, I think hoodie peanuts, you know, big like nut pack. We had Mr. Peanut do lounge versions of our songs. And he said it sounded like machine gun fire, all the peanuts pelting this plastic Mr. Peanut costume. And then he had a great time, you know. And then by the end of the night, there were so many peanuts on the floor and so much moshing and sweat and beverages that I think we made peanut butter, literally.
That's great. So you brought along an instrument. I want to see if the chops are still there. Can you give us a little rendition of what we can expect tonight?
Sure. We're gonna do a couple presentations during the show. We got some, you know, because math teachers got to have visual aids and, you know, things like that. So there's a few lessons to be learned, you know, tonight. I'll just start this. Let's see if I can do. Well, they built the Titanic to be one of a kind, but many ships have ruled the sea. They built the Eiffel Tower to stand alone, but they could build another if they please. The Taj Mahal, the pyramids of Egypt are unique, I suppose. But when they built you, brother, they broke the mold. Now the world is filled with many wonders under the passing sun. And sometimes something comes along, you know for sure it's the only one. The Mona Lisa, the David, the Sistine Chapel, Jesus, Mary, and Joe. And when they built you, brother, they broke the mold. When they built you, brother, they turned a stamp of gold. And when they built you, brother, they broke the mold.
As the voice, nice. Todd Duncan, lead eight right there.
Yeah.
That's for our brothers. That's for all those brothers that we care about, and mothers and sisters and husbands and wives that have passed along in this useless, senseless conflict.
Nicely done.